Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
All right. Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, you may have seen that Elon Musk has announced a formation of a new political party in the US. Now, Terence McNamee is a global affairs specialist on the line with us just to help us understand what is possibly going on there. Dr. McNamee, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Good evening. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, so we obviously got wind of the fact that Musk is announcing a new political party in the U.S. Donald Trump says it's ridiculous. What do you make of that?
Well, perhaps it's not surprising. Remember, third parties in the United States are always formed around particular issues or particular personalities. And to an extent, they have played an important role in the past 150 years, although, of course, none of them have managed to elect a president or really perform well enough to get sufficient number of seats in the House or the Senate. But I think with Elon Musk, it's hard to know. Now, there is actually no record of him formally registering this so-called America Party yet. And he does have a number of hurdles to overcome in order to register it. So we'll see. You know, we've seen so much erratic behavior from him, both when he was heading up Doge and then when he was effectively kicked out of government. Will he just calm down and maybe this will lose some steam? Or will he really pursue this and essentially mount some kind of campaign in a number of seats in the 2026 midterms? It's hard to say at this moment.
And if he actually did go ahead and establish this political party, you know, what future does he actually have in the U.S.? I know that Trump, one can't tell as well how serious he is, you know, has been threatening all sorts of things, you know, let's do this to him, let's do that to him, let's shut down his factory and so on. What do you make of, you know, the little threats that Trump sometimes makes about him? Because I don't know if he's actually actioned any of them. I mean, your take on that.
Well, I mean, as you know, I mean, over the last 6 months, we have witnessed President Trump make all kinds of threats against all kinds of people. And sometimes he tries to climb back from them, as he did with Elon Musk. But I think it was this big, beautiful bill and Musk's incredibly hostile reaction to it. Essentially saying that the deficit is going to balloon by $3 trillion. But obviously he was, you know, concerned in his own corner in terms of what was going to happen to all of the subsidies for the green transition and his electric vehicles. So, you know, I think it's difficult to say right now in the United States in terms of the rule of law and the extent to which executive power can be wielded in the manner that President Trump is suggesting. But the one thing I would say is that Elon Musk has snookered himself somewhat because, yes, he wants to form another party. But remember, he's made enemies just as strong in the Democratic Party. In fact, it would probably not be in his interest to try and overturn the Senate and the House in the Democrats' favor, because the first thing that they will probably do is try and charge Elon Musk and get him before a court of law in terms of what he has done in terms of Doge. So I think to some extent, for someone who's so powerful with these organizations, Tesla and Starlink, you know, he and SpaceX, of course, he's an incredibly powerful figure. But it's hard to know how big his actual constituency would be. He obviously has the money to start a third party, but how big his constituency would be if he's really to go forward with this, it's an open question.
Netanyahu is set to arrive at the White House, and Donald Trump has been saying now for a few days that they are on the brink of a ceasefire agreement any day now. Do you think any of that is actually going to materialize?
Well, there's no doubt that there is a combination of factors that there is an opening for that. And of course, it could all fall apart quite easily. But After 21 months of war, Hamas is completely exhausted. I mean, they need some kind of pause to regroup, or they're simply not going to survive. And the 12-day war against Iran, that, of course, the United States joined for a number of hours with its airstrikes, that has obviously put Hamas in an even weaker position. So I think they must see this as some opportunity to perhaps just survive. And so that perhaps gives these negotiations a fighting chance. But again, they can fall apart just as easily from the Israeli side, because Netanyahu has to deal with the far, far right faction within his coalition. And they are saying that there will be no negotiation until Hamas is completely obliterated and ended. So I think on both sides, it's quite tricky calculations, but there's no doubt there is a bit of a window at the moment. And well, let's see if it stays open and something can be agreed upon.
And I guess the question right now is, what does Hamas being completely obliterated look like and mean? You know, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we can actually give a sense of how strong they are or weak they are currently. What's your sense of when Israel will actually call it a day and say, okay, we're done?
Well, that's a very good question, because according to Israel, they have killed something like 20,000 Hamas militants, but there's been no neutral validation or verification of those claims. And of course, Hamas, yes, it is an organization, and it's certainly an organization that has always been at loggerheads with the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. But it's also, there's an idea, you know, that animates what's going on at the moment. And you can't kill this idea. But I think as an organization, there's no doubt it has been incredibly weakened by these changing dynamics in the Middle East, not just in Iran, but of course, Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so I think, you know, they're in a very, very weak position. But what would amount to, you know, Israel going mission accomplished? Of course, there's probably 20 to 25 hostages that are still alive. I think if they were able to get those hostages back, they may be in a position to declare victory, which may be important for Netanyahu in terms of domestic politics. But yes, it is very difficult to, you know, what does obliteration, what does annihilation mean in this context, particularly as, you know, this younger generation that has experienced war and conflict won't be forgetting this easily. And eventually those that survive and are grow into adults, you know, they're going to be harboring tremendous amount of enmity, resentment, animosity, and that may manifest itself in new organizations.
So Trump is going to be announcing new tariffs again for some more countries and a shift again. Japan, I think, is one of those. I mean, what does that mean then for the back and forth that he keeps doing in this dance with some of these countries? And where does that leave him with what may possibly be another upset in some of these negotiations that he may announce later on today?
Yeah, I mean, as ever, I think what has been consistent in this roller coaster is Trump's mantra that he simply does not like trade deficits, right? So he simply does not like situations where the United States buys more goods from countries compared to the amount that American businesses export to those countries. So he's always maintained that tariffs should be set in response to those trade deficits. But of course, these numbers, I mean, they don't really make much sense if you try and, you know, attach some logic to 10%, 75%, 25%. I mean, I think at the moment we are in a pause on the original reciprocal tariffs, which went briefly into place last April. And then all the impacted countries have faced something like a minimum 10% tariff. It's incredibly difficult to to keep track of. And I think the only logic in this, in terms of if we're to have a verdict on it, will be, well, what's the situation in a year or 2 years' times in terms of the price of goods in the United States? What's the situation in terms of onshoring manufacturing? And if this situation doesn't look good for the United States, as many economists believe it won't, then I think all of this tariffs melodrama will be really an indictment of his presidency.
I really appreciate your take and your time. Thank you so much for giving us all of that. Dr. Terence McNamee is a global affairs specialist, helping us understand what's happening in the U.S. And as I said, Netanyahu is set to arrive at the White House. If that happens while we're on air, we'll bring that live to you.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.